Lady Luck has always been with us since the beginning. These choice custom magic items can show her favor or disfavor depending on usage and whim.
Tonight, we give you 8 magic items that can alter your character's destinies.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblins Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing custom magic items.
Part 5.
Indeed.
Which is?
Items of chance and fortune.
That's right. So overall, these magic items happen to be magical or scientific objects which can alter fate and probability.
Yes.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah. This is something both of us enjoy.
Yeah. We gave you objects of time and space. We gave you dungeoneering non-essentials. We gave you other episodes I don't recall right now, which is fine. And now tonight, some stuff to alter probability, dice rolls maybe. Maybe yeah. Even the fate of the character.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. So what are these good for, Matt?
Overall, these are things that reward characters for being willing to take a chance.
Yeah, regardless of the game.
Yep.
These are items of power, so they're not just run-of-the-mill magic items.
No.
Now, these are some interesting. This doesn't just give you like a +1 on a roll.
Nothing static here. We're not.
Nah, we're not number crunching here. How dare us? We're giving you something better. We might number crunch a little bit.
A touch. But it's things that have a little swing to them.
Yeah. But most importantly,
they're unique and they can potentially alter destinies in wonderful or tragic ways.
That's right. So tonight we've got 8 objects, as we mentioned before. We do have a couple of rules, however.
Yes. For one thing, it should be an object, not a MacGuffin.
Yeah, because we are rewarding characters with these magic items.
Right.
Not just making a plot point.
Right. It's not the end of the camp. Oh, hey, you finally got the Noonah.
No, you should get the Noonah to use the Noonah.
Right.
That's how I look at it. Story hooks are always appropriate with all of our stuff. And in fact, I would say for these magic items, lore is more essential than any of the other magic item episodes we've done.
Absolutely. For me, if it's going to touch on fate, if it's going to touch on fortune, then there should be some sort of story behind it.
Yeah, because we're altering reality. We're not refilling your drink.
Right. Not that there's anything wrong with that magic item.
I'd
take it.
Especially if it's a coffee mug.
Exactly. If it's an everyday object, it should have a distinctive descriptor and probably a quirk. Now, I like quirks. You like quirks.
Love quirks.
Something that says that even if this appears to be an everyday object, clearly there is something special about it.
Yeah. It's, again, wizards are crazy. Magic is crazy. Magic's weird, first off. In every game, doesn't matter if it's D&D or whatnot, magic is weird. And your magic item should reflect that weirdness.
Yeah. Like, if I have a magic coffee cup, let's assume that I do, it's going to have speed lines or speed blur, like, as it moves, as I'm drinking it, it does, like, the anime ch-ch-ch-ch. It doesn't accomplish anything.
Maybe you blur when you drink it.
Well, that's
arguably
true regardless.
You do that with a normal coffee mug, too. I love that. What we're saying is also, in addition to those quirks, there should be a reason behind the object.
Right.
Because it is made to serve a particular function. Now, that function can be just straight up whim and ridiculousness.
100%.
And we approve of both of those as well. But most of the time, it serves some sort of function.
If there's not a clear functionality to the item, then it should be a story-dedicated function.
Yeah, providing either your story hook, some kind of plot point, or whatnot.
Sure. And where appropriate, it should be amusing.
It should always be amusing. Maybe not to your players, but
it should be amusing to somebody at the table.
Yeah, could be you, could be them.
Could be, hopefully both.
Hopefully both, but
Little column A, little column B,
if it all comes down to it. So long as you're amused by them, then that's fine. All right, let's jump into the magic item, shall we?
Certainly.
Now, you have the first magic item, which I really like because it is a coin.
Yeah.
So we're jumping right into kind of a popular trope with the magic item of chance and fortune. You got to gambler's coin. In fact, it's called the gambler's last coin, and it is a common object. Tell me a little bit about the gambler's last coin, and we'll get into like the powers and lore as well.
Sure. It's the gambler's last coin, but it's sometimes referred to as the gambler's first coin. This copper piece sports a beautiful smiling face of Lady Luck on one side and the smirking, mischievous visage of Misfortune on the other.
Nice.
The powers are simple. Once per day, it casts augury.
So wheel or woe.
Exactly. Guess how you find out.
If you flip the coin.
Exactly.
Do I really want to go through this door?
Fling.
Whoa. I'm going the other way.
Yep. Nope.
Oh, I love that.
The lore is a destitute man found this coin and being at his wit's end decided to let it make all of his decisions for an entire day. At the end of the day, it led him to the House of Chance, at which point he dedicated his life to Lady Luck and became a gambler.
Damn straight he did.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was using this coin, I mean, unless I'm, was it Two-Face?
Yeah.
Then if I'm using it to determine my fate, yeah, you better become a priest of the gambler.
If literally sundown hits, right? You make your last little flip, you make your left turn, and you end up at the church of the Lady of Luck. Really? Really?
Someone's been telling you something.
Exactly. You are where you need to be.
Time to get fitted for the gambler's cloth.
Yeah.
What kind of vestments would a priest of the gambler have?
A very fancy vest and a trench coat.
Yeah.
With a pistol crossbow.
Pistol crossbow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some kind of like a like cowboy hat.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You were with me.
Uh-huh. Something out of Deadwood is what I'm thinking of.
Maverick.
Maverick would work. Yeah. That would work too. Yeah. Anything like that would be great. A little kind of a shitting grin.
Oh, you've got to.
Mm-hmm.
Because end of the day, like, who's on your side?
I got a six shooter. I got a pack of playing cards and a mace. I'm ready for everything at that point.
I'm good to go.
I can shoot them, I can play them, or I can thump them. It'd be great.
So your first magic item for the night is the Greedy Grab Bag.
Greedy Grab Bag.
What you got going with this thing?
It is an uncommon magic item. This nondescript burgundy leather coin purse looks as if it has seen better days, although it is much sturdier than it initially appears.
All right.
Powers are, should the user reach into the bag, they may extract money from the Greedy Grab Bag, and the chance of which is follows. So roll a roll d20.
I mean, I can do that real quick. Let's see. What do we got here?
You don't have to roll it now.
I'm curious.
What do we got in the bag of dice there? What was in the bag of dice there, Matt?
Literally a bag of dice?
Well, yes, but like where did the dice come from?
Oh, the came from Dice Drop Evolution.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, indeed.
Lovely friends from Dice Drop Evolution have given those to us. Go check out their podcast as well.
I rolled a 5, by the way.
5?
Yes.
Okay. So if you rolled a 1, you get nothing.
Well, that's sad.
Yeah. You get nothing for Christmas. If you roll between a 2 and a 7, you extract, when you draw from the bag, 500 copper pieces that spills forth from the bag all over the floor.
Sounds like my luck.
Okay. Kind of like if you ching.
Sure.
Hit the lotto. If you roll between a 7 and a 12, you get 50 silver.
So, okay, still.
Which equals 500 copper pieces.
Right.
If you roll between a 13 and a 17, you get 5 gold, which equals
50 silver and 500.
There you see where we're going here. If you roll an 18 or a 19, you get half of a plat, literally one half of a plat.
Sure, ma'am.
And then if you roll a natural 20, you get 5 gold piece of gem dust.
Nice.
Which could potentially be very useful or just piss you off.
It's not going to piss me off. I'm always
reaching in the bag. There's nothing but dust.
Man, it's going in its own bag. And I'm just, every time I roll that, I'm just pouring it into the storage.
Sure. Additionally, there is a cumulative 5% chance per usage per day that this bag attempts to eat the person grabbing the coin from it as per a bag of devouring.
That's suboptimal.
Well, I mean,
it is called the greedy grab
can't
bag.
Can't be too greedy. Strength of the DC is determined by whatever your game lethality should be.
Sure.
The user must roll to see if they are eaten first before the coins are extracted.
Does that include the first grab for the day?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, starts at 5, then it goes to 10, then it goes to 15. I mean, if you need some money and you're a gambler type Yeah.
Seed money, man.
You know what you do, though? You grab it the first couple times, and then you have your friends grab it, and then they get eaten. And then you know it's time to, you know, kind of hang it up.
Yeah.
Or your enemies. Oh, no, I got the money for you. Here, it's in this coin purse. And they get eaten.
So what's the lore on this thing?
The lore behind this is, a long time ago, a mimic happened to eat a bag of holding in a dungeon.
Okay.
Due to the planar energies extracted from the bag of holding, it altered the mimic into the first greedy grab bag. It has since spawned and created greedy grab bags across the multiverse.
So it can no longer make mimic babies, it makes greedy grab bag babies?
That is correct.
That is awesome. I like that.
Every now and then it just plops across. Whoop. And because, remember, keep in mind, bags of holding are extra dimensional items.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily lay a greedy grab bag
in
on
this
our
plane.
Exactly.
Nice.
So they're all over the place now.
Very cool.
Every now and then it just plops one out.
Man, I would constantly feed this thing in the hopes that I could get a room full of these, because then what you do is you just grab once from each bag every day.
I mean, there's still a 1 in 20 chance that you get eaten.
That's true.
5% chance, man. Roll that natural one, you get sucked onto some other the plane of being eaten. You just probably just die.
The hell of being boiled alive.
Yeah. Got to think about that. Although if you have a lot of minions, then it could be a very lucrative process.
If you think about how much money they could make pulling from the grab bag, right? Like, how many people would be willing to take that chance if they're like a commoner?
I see a game show in our future and a D&D campaign at some point. Think about that. That'd be great. All right. Next up on our objects of chance and fortune, we have a string of luck. Matt, what is a string of luck? Please tell me. And what kind of is it a common, uncommon type thing?
It's uncommon.
Okay.
First off, this is a magical silk strand of alternating strung beads of tarnished brass and platinum.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
A little silk strand, got some nice little beads, so it'd be a handy necklace if nothing else.
Indeed.
What kind of powers does it have?
Should the user activate the string of luck, it provides them with advantage on any roll. If both dice are above 10, it provides them with advantage on the next roll until one of them roll above or below 10.
Okay. So I roll a dice, I get above 10. I roll the other dice, I get above 10.
You get advantage on your next roll also.
Okay. I roll again. They both get advantage. I just keep going until I roll one below 10, one above 10.
Correct.
And then I just, you know, I have that advantage anyway, but the next roll I make is not with advantage, just a regular roll.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Sounds great.
The caveat being, what happens if both of the dice are below 10?
Oh, do you get a string of bad luck with that now? Every time you roll is with disadvantage?
So if both numbers on the die are above 10, you get advantage on your next roll. If both 20s are below 10, you get disadvantage on your next roll. It is a string of luck, not a string of good luck or a string of bad luck. Just a string of luck.
I love that. That's awesome. What's the story behind this?
A man once approached the personification of fate, saying that they would pay any price for an item to be made that would allow fate to be changed. Fate was amused and agreed, promptly cut his thread and used it to make the original item. After finding this man's body, Arcanus later learned to recreate the object.
Yeah, because he had a string of bad luck. So that's how it goes, man.
He said he'd pay any price.
And he certainly did with his life. Very cool. I love the string of luck.
All right. So you actually have a figurine of wondrous power for us next.
I do.
How does that fit into the theme here?
It doesn't. I mean, it is. It is a lucky rabbit's foot.
Okay.
But it is a figurine of wondrous power, lucky rabbit's foot.
I'm with it.
Rare item.
Okay.
This keychain consists of a green furred rabbit foot with a metal beaded chain, like you'd find in a Texaco or whatnot,
sure.
Yeah, and can be worn about the neck or used as a typical keychain.
Fantastic. What are the powers?
It basically gives you good luck, as all of these items have, but more specifically, the powers are rubbing the green rabbit's foot activates its abilities and they use between 1 and 3 charges depending upon what powers you use.
Okay.
So 1 charge casts Bless.
Okay.
If you blow 2 charges, as a reaction, you can force a reroll of any attack or saving throw within 30 feet of you.
Nice.
You just basically say no.
No.
Yep. Now, if you blow 3 for the day, which is all of them, mm-hmm. you summon a dire Almirage, which is a dire unicorn bunny. Dire.
Nice.
Dire unicorn bunny.
I'm with it. I need one of these.
It's got long teeth.
Yeah.
It's got some plates on the back.
And I'm assuming it's bright green or deep green.
Absolutely. It's the same color as the Lucky Rabbit's foot, so it's a bright green.
So what kind of horn do we have here? Like for dire, I feel like it has to be black or deep purple or...
Like, I'd be fine with almost like a scintillating black.
Yeah.
Where it's got like that oil slick, maybe dark bluish type
thing. Opalescence, some iridescence in it. Yeah, I'm with it.
I feel it. So it summons the Dire Almirage for 24 hours as per a Goat of Traveling.
Okay.
So if you look at the Goat of Traveling in the PH or the DMG, that's what you get, right?
Right. What? I love it. What is the, what's the lore behind this thing, man?
Hug Funnies, the Prince of Almirages, was the unlucky recipient of a Sword of Sharpness, thus indirectly creating the first Green Rabbit's Foot when his real foot was lost to adventurers, having been sliced off.
Sure.
An enterprising artificer was inspired to create others based on Hug Funnies, and these rare figurines can be found wherever wayside taverns or truck stops exist in the multiverse.
Fantastic.
I mean, you know, you roll into a metaphysical truck stop, you're going to find one of these things. Legend has it that the original foot is still out there and looks exactly like these copies, and that Hug Funnies will pursue the owner wherever they are in the multiverse.
That sounds suboptimal.
That sounds awesome. So there is a chance when you get one, sounds awesome for me.
Yeah.
You get this lucky rabbit's foot, and it's working great, right? And all of a sudden, what's that on the horizon? I've got a Dire Almirage. Why is there a 3-legged Dire Almirage? Yeah. He's got like a peg leg or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if his name is Hug Funnies, he's got like some kind of golden fey looking foot.
That's what I was thinking, was because he's the prince of the Almirage, like he's going to have some sort of very arcane replacement going to be used to murder you.
You're about to lose your foot. He's going to steal your foot.
Yes, absolutely.
Retaliation, man.
Yeah.
And I would say there's a curse on it, which would be even more funny. Maybe there is an artifact version of this that is related to Hug Funnies. Maybe it gives you like 4 charges, and something more ridiculous gets blown for 4 charges. And then maybe after you use it,
sure, shows
tracks
up.
You down, yeah. Shows up, slices off your foot. But then the Hug Funnies foot disappears into the multiverse where it's found by someone else unlucky enough to find it until he blows 4 charges and summons Hug Funnies, who then slices off that foot.
And in the fight with Hug Funnies, he uses keychains to summon people, warriors.
Oh, that would be funny.
Right? Because he reverses the magic.
He slices your foot off to make a keychain to summon you?
Yes.
What a great... You know what would be awesome? We're going way off topic here.
Where?
But imagine a pirate campaign. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's got a peg leg, right? But you're all ex-adventurers or something like that. You know, you could start at mid-level, high level, right? And you all get summoned because some fey creature has your foot and has made a summoning figurine out of it.
Nice. I like that.
You're welcome, folks. Stir in your nightmares there. So that is the Figurine of Wondrous Power, Green Rabbit's Foot.
Yeah, I feel like that would be just a lot of fun to play with. It's got clearly a lot of options.
Yeah. And, of course, it's a fuzzy rabbit's foot.
And who doesn't love that?
That's right. So next up we have...
The question of the week.
All right. What is the question of the week this week, Matt?
Well, you know I like to try and keep things on theme. So, in the theme of fortune and what have you, we all know about tarot decks and runes. But if you were to create an oracular practice, what would it be?
So something completely original.
Yeah.
Not based on, like, the history of divination.
Nope.
Whew. You go first. I'm thinking about this one, but I've got an idea.
This is a ritual practice, right? What mm-hmm. you're going to do is you're going to make yourself a steaming cup of hot coffee. You're going to place it in a clear mug. and you're going to pour in exactly 2.5 tablespoons of half and half.
Okay.
You're going to focus on the pattern that the cream makes as it dissipates into the coffee, and that's what you use to make your oracular practice.
This is like the tea grounds, but with coffee creamer.
Sort of.
Pattern recognition, like shapes in the clouds.
Yeah.
Okay, I could see that. That's kind of cool.
I figure that's very appropriate for me.
Yes, absolutely true. I would say for me, I would choose some books, and I would rifle through them at random pages. No, I'm going to get more specific. I will say random Douglas Adams books or Terry Pratchett books. So find one of those. I have almost all of them. So
sure.
Just pick one at random, rifle through it on a random page, read some kind of random wisdom that either of them espoused on those pages, because they're full of all kinds of useful stuff.
Sure.
And that is how I divine the future.
There's actually a Persian practice that is relatively close to that. It's an ancient poet. And what they do is they take lines of poetry and they fold them up and they keep them in a box. And when they want to discuss someone's future or the fortune or whatever, they pull out random lines of poetry, and that's their method for oracular practice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. This is not necessarily unique, but it is unique for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm more interested in what you have to say. And if you're interested, write to us at Goblin's Corner on Twitter. Hit us up, or hit us up in the comments as well on YouTube if you're watching the show. We'd love to see what your unique item of chance and fortune or oracular power would be.
I feel like that's a question that could very much tell you about somebody.
Sure, why not? Might come up with something ridiculous like we did. All right, let's jump back into items of chance and fortune. And this time you've got one. It's another coin.
It is.
It's called the Coin of Ill Omen.
In fact.
And this is, in fact, a cursed item.
Yes.
Which, if you guys have ever seen our show on cursed items, we love cursed items as well, because sometimes they can be useful and sometimes they're just fun to throw into a game.
Indeed. This platinum coin appears to be perfectly normal in every way for whatever area it is in. It always appears to be a coin of the realm.
So if I'm in Symbia, it's a Symbian coin. If I'm in Waterdeep, it's a Waterdeep coin.
Yes, indeed.
Cool.
This coin does not detect as magic in any way, because it's cursed. You
don't want it to detect as magic. Something's up.
Right. The powers are: the coin of ill omen cannot be voluntarily spent or gotten rid of, and it is always considered a lucky coin.
So it doesn't really matter. It's always in your pocket.
Yep.
Okay. I love this. It's great. It's already starting out to be an awful cursed item.
So let's talk about the rest of its powers.
The deviousness
the
part of
curse.
This. All right. Yes. How bad is this?
It's pretty not good. At the start of combat, the coin immediately casts Bane on its wielder and two allies.
Ouch.
It's a whiz save DC 16 to save against Bane.
Sure.
At the start of round two, it casts Blindness or Deafness, whichever is most detrimental at the time, on the wielder or one ally.
Whichever is worse.
Right. So if the party's getting their butt kicked just off jump, blind the healer.
Yeah. Wizard's about to cast something that vaporizes the enemy.
Nope.
Blind the wizard. Or even worse, make him deaf so he can't hear what's coming.
And on round three, it bestows curse on the wielder.
This is an asshole coin, man.
Yeah, it's not nice. The coin of ill omen can maintain concentration on multiple spells.
You have multiple curses, multiple...
Well, it can maintain concentration on the blindness and the bane at the same time, and curse.
What about on round four? Does it do anything on round four?
It just maintains concentration.
Okay, so at worst, it's cursed three people.
Technically,
four, because welder, two allies, so that's three people on round one.
Right.
And then blindness or deafness, that could be up to four people.
Right. Yeah.
That still sucks.
But
for
if you
a
consider
coin.
That the average party,
four or five,
is 4 to 5,
you've just TPK'd everybody with a coin.
Hey, look. Sometimes things are bad.
I mean, it's what it is.
It's cursed.
What's the lore behind this thing?
In ancient times, a vile soul was sent to hell. Rather than risk destruction at the hands of fiends, the treacherous soul pitched this premise. Create of my spirit a coin that I might curse the living and thus send you souls. After I have sent you 100,000 souls, I will gain my promotion. The fiends were delighted with this prospect and thus forged the ghost into the coin you see today.
And why wouldn't they? They're cursing everybody else.
It's a win-win for them.
Sure. And
one coin that is guaranteed to murk people.
What an awesome, awful device. The coin of ill omen. I love that.
Now, for your next one, I love this. It seems like a lot of fun.
The charlatan's bag of bones.
Indeed.
And it is a bag of bones.
Mm-hmm.
It is an uncommon item. This purple felt bag with a gold silk drawstring and stitching contains 13 various avian bones.
Okay.
And yes, it looks like a crown royal bag.
Sure, sure.
Why wouldn't you?
What are the powers of this thing?
Consulting the bones allows the user to draw upon the bag's power. The charlatan's bag of bones mimics any other divination spell, but the effects are entirely illusionary and under the control of the bag owner. The bones tell me nothing.
Sure.
Now, I want you to think about this. You are a charlatan first class.
Yeah.
You roll into, I don't know, a bunch of gullible townspeople, and they're like, oh, please, can you tell me where the water is? I will consult the bones.
Sure.
The bones tell him nothing. But it makes up whatever it is. It could be, you know, commune with a outer planar spirit. You could do just an, you know, augury or whatnot.
Yeah. So.
It looks real.
If you're good at knowledge nature, you could make an awesome water diviner. Because you can make an educated guess, but you can be very official. Where is the water?
Just got to get out of town before they start digging.
I mean, you got a pretty good guess.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You're going to be right more often than not.
Sometimes the spirits tell me right. Sometimes they don't. Yeah. You could fool a lot of people.
What is the lore for this?
The first charlatan's bag of bones was created by an elderly halfling wizard who relied on more of his wits than on his spellcraft.
Mm-hmm. Is he got stringy white hair? Is the magic in this
finger? Does it look like the wizard from Willow? It yes. Does in my head. You haven't gotten the reference. You do now. Cool. So that's the charlatan's bag of bones. Next up, we have the Taseomancer's tea set, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
I believe so.
So tell me about this tea set. What is it?
Well, first off, it's a rare object. This porcelain tea set sports strange geometric designs, some of which seem to move when the eyes are not directly on them. The Taseomancer's tea set is usually found within a small rugged steamer case, and there's a chance that one of the five cups may be chipped or broken. The set contains a selection of perpetually fresh tea of a wide variety.
I'm thinking like the Lipton's tea set for some reason in my head. But it could probably be better tea than that.
I almost certain.
Everybody in the UK who drinks tea is sitting there going,
did he say Lipton?
Did he just say Lipton's really? Tea? Really? Yeah.
I'm across the room from you and I kind of feel that way.
I mean, look, I don't drink a lot of tea.
I
know. It is what it is. All right. What are the powers of this thing?
All right. Should the user brew a cup of strong tea, they gain the ability of contact other plane as per the spell, including the chance of damage and insanity.
You have to drink the tea or do you just brew it?
Yeah, you got to drink it.
Okay.
Additionally, each person who partakes of the tea may ask one question, but must also make the save.
That makes sense. You're drinking the brew, you got to suffer the consequences.
Yes, indeed.
What kind of lore do we have here?
Well, we've tied in one of our favorite gnomish inventors.
Ah, yes. My beloved gnome... Artificer Qualish Gingersnap.
Indeed. Noted scribe of Sigil and purveyor of rare antiquities is alleged to have created the first Taseomancer's tea set. It was well known that he had a great love of sharing knowledge as well as sharing delicious tea. Since there's always time for foreknowledge and it's always tea time somewhere in the multiverse, he created this set to assist with both. And the bitterness of occasional insanity can be overcome with enough cream and sugar.
Absolutely true. You know, you get all the knowledge of the world, you just happen to go insane, but at least you get a good cup of tea out of it.
Exactly.
So,
and it's always fresh.
Always fresh. That's a win-win right there. Yeah. Oh, you need some hot water? Come on.
Yeah.
Easy to do.
A really wise man can just use the magic tea set to make himself a drink of tea and not ask any questions.
It's absolutely also true. You could do that if you like.
It's a rare set, a rare magic item. I feel like that's not unfair.
Now, we've come to the final object of chance and fortune for this evening.
We have indeed.
And this one is technically an object, I would say.
It's kind of...
But it's also a monster.
A creature, yes.
It's also a monster. And that's fine.
Tell me about the alchemy duck, Eric.
The alchemy duck. This is my magnum opus for chance and fortune right here. It is a legendary creature, legendary object.
Mm-hmm.
This brilliantly chromatic duck features shimmering rainbow-like scales. Think of like a shimmering oil slick of a duck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And an upturned, almost smiling beak.
Okay.
The beak and the feet are of platinum, and its eyes are a bright metallic gold color.
Oh, okay.
Found only on certain mountaintops within the rolling chaos of Limbo, these ducks possess the unique ability to lay eggs of various substances in addition to the usual duck eggs.
Sure. Makes sense.
It's a duck, right? Lays eggs.
So, but it's a scaled duck? It's not a feathered duck?
Yeah, it's more like their feathers are more scale-like, like feather armor. So metallic feathers.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with it.
But I mean, like, it's metal.
Just trying to get the right picture.
It's metal. Yeah. It's metal.
Metal.
Yeah, it's hard. It's got to be, man. It lives in Limbo. It can catch on fire at any time.
What are the powers of this thing?
Alchemy ducks lay one egg each day. Provided, we've given some possible examples, but keep in mind, this is fucking Limbo we're talking about, so...
Could be anything.
Yeah. DMs, feel free to change these up as you wish, but I've got a couple of fun examples, because it is alchemy.
Sure.
So first off, when it lays an egg, 40% chance it's just a regular duck egg.
Nothing wrong with that. That's breakfast.
Yeah, it's breakfast or potentially another alchemy duck.
Indeed.
10% chance, gold or some other precious substance. So it could be a golden egg.
Yeah.
Could be a jade egg or a, I don't know, mithril egg would be kind of cool.
Yeah. An adamantine egg.
Adamantine egg would be awesome. Something, you know, ridiculous like some
kind of... It hits the ground and leaves a dent.
Diamond egg.
Sure.
That'd be worth something, right? 5% chance of the following as well. Acid, fire, lightning, frost, thunder, oil, smoke, or sticky. The usual alchemist, fire, alchemist, you know,
sure.
Those type of things. And of course, sticky would be tanglefoot bag. So basically, 5% chance of any of those to create an egg you throw.
Right.
Blows up in somebody's face.
Fantastic. Sounds like fun.
More amusingly, 5% chance of having an egg within an egg.
Nice. So do you roll twice?
Yes.
Nice.
So you get that 5% chance of the egg within an egg. You roll it again to see what's inside that egg. You might have eggs all the way down.
That's mathematically possible, though very unlikely.
Also, I would say after the fifth egg, you get something special. I would say a magic item. Because if you've managed to mathematically roll 5 eggs within eggs, why not?
I can see that. Either that or we're definitely going to have a conversation about the next one down.
Yes. Well, you might think, okay, you've still got, that's up to 95% chance so far out of 100%.
Right.
What is the other 5%? Well, first off, out of that other 5%, there's a 2% chance that it's a monster egg, which is random, DM discretion, hatches immediately, may or may not attack depending upon the monster.
I think for me, this is a legendary magic thing.
Correct.
For me, it's going to be a baby something that imprints on the first person it sees.
I think that would be ridiculously fun. And it doesn't have to be a creature that hatches from an egg normally either.
Nope. It's a baby lich.
Baby lich, baby display beast, whatever.
Yeah.
Baby lich would be kind of cool. Dead baby lich. What's up, dead baby
lich?
It grows
up.
Grows up?
Yeah.
That's chaos right there.
It's Limbo, man.
Love the way you think. Now, additionally, there is a 2% chance that the egg cracks, teleports everyone within 30 feet in a random direction, random location, or random plane.
Sure.
Just straight up.
Just teleportation.
2% out of 100%, yeah.
But you got to crack it to know.
That's very true. And then finally, there is a 1% chance out of 100 that it summons a slod who quacks, plays Duck Duck Goose, and then is free to do whatever it wants after that. But it has to quack and play Duck Duck Goose first.
Sure.
That'd take about a round. Duck, duck, goose, and he hits goose, and he impregnates somebody with a slot egg.
It's possible.
It could happen. Might come out with party hats, have a nice wicked tea set, maybe the Taseomancer's tea set, for example.
Sure. That's what happens if you get five of them. The slot pops out and has tea with everybody.
A slot turducken? Is that what it is? It looked like a fractal mouth.
Just take a picture of a slot, cut it in half, attach it to a slightly smaller picture of a slot at a slight angle, and then you just keep twisting and twisting.
And you've got the Fibonacci sequence. There
exactly.
we go.
Exactly.
Congratulations.
Of slot.
Of slots. So there you have it. Eight delightful magic items and one particular magic item, which is a creature as well, for your characters to enjoy and alter chance and fortune. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the not so great.
And sometimes just for the random.
That's right. Any questions or comments? Write to us. We are at Goblins Corner on Twitter. And of course, we're on all of the things.
Indeed.
Do you like our show? Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite player, YouTube, and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor, click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes or Podchaser, and on YouTube, subscribe, give us likes, comment, all of the wonderful YouTube things. If you ring the bell, then you'll get notifications every time we post a new video. Remember, everything you do feeds the hungry algorithm.
Which is currently an egg within an egg within an egg within a slot with gin, a Fibonacci sequence. That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden
and Matt Staples.
Show song by the mighty D20.
This is a Subterranean production.
Basic.